write about, trying to figure out what it's all about. Existentialist, am I worth anything or just a scout? I don't know, I don't know, I don't know.
That was a great sound of Watta with Outside on WNHH LP 103.5 FM New Haven. Myself, Preston, with my partner in crime, Long Island raised, Elm City made, EZ Blues is in the building. EZ Blues, you're better with introductions more than me. Who do we have with us today on the program?
You know, I believe it was the great philosopher Descartes that once said, "I think, therefore I am," in which you can sit there and truly understand the true basis of what a human being can be. Now, I say this to tell us all, we're all on an incredible journey. And when we go on to these type of journeys, we get to see ourselves in our truest forms and our truest colors. This person today has been through such a journey that's gone from the East Coast to the West Coast that brings us back here to this wonderful to this bi-coastal show we've got going on here. So I want you to put your hands together, not if you're driving. If you're driving, please keep your hands at 10 and 2 because we don't need any accidents. But mentally, I want you to put your hands together for the fantastic, the amazing, the incredible Nivi Canella is here with us to welcome Benvenue. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me. You're welcome.
Of course, of course. Now, you know, for those that have been living under a rock and have no idea, why don't we just give a little bit of your story? What was it like, you know, coming up from Jersey and going to Cali? And what is it like, you know, on this entrepreneurial and, you know, business journey that you're currently on?
Sure. So I am from Union City, New Jersey. It is nicknamed Havana on the Hudson because it got a very big migration of Cubans, but it also just has a big migration of people from all over Latin America and Asia. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty like diverse place that I grew up in, but it's also really teeny tiny. And I was just very much like bursting at the seams with wanting to write and sing and act and dance and like all the creative things. But you know, we didn't have like the income to support classes for all that stuff. So I had all these like Broadway names and I just kind of like found whatever opportunities I could and like patched together some kind of training for myself. I did not study much art stuff in college. I ended up getting a scholarship and being like, oh, I have to pick a safe route, but it wasn't safe at all. I picked ethnic studies, which is a social science that is literally getting like banned in our schools now. So
you picked the most unsafe of safe topics.
Yeah. And then I you know, to top it off, I'm queer. So like anything I write and publish is also going to be banned. So, you know, we're just banned all around. I'm not allowed to curse today. So curse a lot, you know. Anyway.
I understand. We're here for you. We are here for you. It's, you want to know something? Sometimes a good shoot works out really well as well. Because you know, because
shoot.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's okay.
Because,
yeah. You can do that.
You know, because look, you know, we speak with, you know, and we have a very open range for a show. We speak with a lot of people from a lot of diverse different backgrounds.
Yeah.
And, you know, truly understanding that, you know, each community on its own can be marginalized, but then when you start to compound all the different things in there, sometimes it can feel completely helpless. Now, in the face of, you know, your safe major being unsafe, and in the face of, you know, the reality of who your true being is, and just being that true being also puts you kind of like on a banned list. How do you keep moving forward? How do you maintain this wonderful personality and smile on there? Because I'm grumpy 97% of the time. Like every time the next person blocks me, I'm like, okay, word, I got you. We'll see each other on the street one day. It'll be fine.
Yeah, it was just staying true to that desire to like live and breathe creativity and whatever form it comes up. I haven't taken pottery classes yet. But other than that, you know, I wrote a book. I produce cabarets. I do a musical improv series. I have an album that I'm working on. Like, I just love getting to express ideas in all kinds of different ways in an unlimited way. And, you know, looking at the ideas that like capitalism and all these other isms like project onto art it really limits us, because I think that art is, it's a place to put our feelings, and it's an outlet, you know, if we allow ourselves to enjoy our own art and share it with others without the kind of attachments to perfectionism and, you know, the idea that our money, our art has to like make money to be valuable, or shame, and the idea that like if we create something imperfect, then, you know, we're faced with our own imperfections. If we just like free ourselves and allow ourselves to create with all of that, without all of that kind of looming over our heads, or I guess through all of it, then yeah, we can just, live more like happy and fulfilled and creative lives.
Well, how do you do that though? I mean, because when you have the rest of the world, and the rest of the world does tell us you're not being safe, you're not being smart with this, you know, yeah. What you're doing is a dream, a pipe dream or something like that. And look, you know, to quote one of my favorite artists out there, Chesky, you know, we're turning pipe dreams into pipe bombs. Oh yeah, I love that line so much. You know, how do you maintain, because I, you know, as well as I do, there is somebody sitting at home right now who comes from even a more marginalized community than any of us sitting here, that is going, okay, if these three knuckleheads can do it, maybe there's a shot for me. So give you that opportunity to speak to that, you know, that human that needs to hear your voice right now.
Yeah, I would say start with what is calling you, you know? I think for me, writing called me first. I was like, as soon as they taught me how to write, I was journaling, you know, right. And making up stories and uses and writing songs. So, you know, start with what's calling you, but it doesn't have to be the be all end all. It doesn't have to limit you. Right. Focus on the feeling of creating versus the product itself, and like write or express yourself in whatever way about the experience, whether that's like talking to somebody you trust, or I'll sometimes like record a voice memo to myself. It's like an audio journal, you know, right. Just like talking about what feelings come up for you as you're creating and as you're thinking about creating, you know, so just being present with yourself through the process of creating. And, you know, don't rush to show the world your stuff. Sometimes we get this impulse where we're like, oh my God, I made a thing and now I have to show it to somebody. And it might be somebody we love, but they might not be ready to like receive that with as much compassion as we need in that moment. So, you know, be okay with like kind of hoarding your art to yourself and keeping it as your own little pet project, you know, until you are ready to share it with some people who maybe are more like-minded, you know?
That actually brings up a beautiful question, and I love how we've gotten here organically. When did you know? When do you know it's the right time to show a piece? Because, you know, we can go back all the way to Emily Dickinson, and she died with just volumes upon volumes of poems, you know, buried in desks. So when does an artist truly know it's time to show the piece?
I have two answers to that.
Ooh, okay.
My first answer, I will come back to the Emily Dickinson thing in a moment, but my first answer is a lot of my art and performance art is very improvisational. So I do this series called Happy Song Time, where, you know, people will give me suggestions for songs in all types of ways. Like, for example, write down the name of a song that doesn't exist yet, but you want it to exist. Mm-hmm. And I have to make up the song on the spot. So in that case, it's just like, the art is happening in the moment in a very kind of public way. And that's very freeing, because you can kind of let go of the idea that it has to be good or perfect, because you have a captive audience. They came there to watch you do goofy stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. I didn't curse. Okay, thank you.
No, you did. No, you handled that beautifully well.
Like a professional.
Well done. Give you snaps now.
So the second answer to that, going back to the Emily Dickinson thing, it's really interesting because during lockdown, I had a lot of time on my hands and started going through like my old files and discovering that I had a lot of songs, I had a lot of poems, I had some stories, and I was ready to put some together to leave behind. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to, you know, go without sharing some of that, you know? And so then for me, it became like, what is the piece that I want to create? And like, what's the message? What's the purpose of it? And two things have come from that. One that's already complete, and the other one that's still kind of in development. And that's my anthology, Miss Bergenline, which is a collection of poetry, essays, and a couple stories about just like growing up queer and Caribbean in the projects of Union City, New Jersey. And it's very like, it's very much like a scrapbook kind of zine feel. It has like photography and drawings and just like all this stuff that I pulled together, some of which I wrote while I was growing up. And for me, that was about like creating something for the next generation of kids like me to have, because growing up, like reading about, you know, when I wasn't out yet, like reading about queer authors like James Baldwin and Tennessee Williams, I was like, oh my gosh, they were just out there like living and writing about it. And you know what I mean? Like, wow, that's so cool, you know? And now I get to read their bio. And so that gave me a lot of strength and a lot of hope, and eventually the courage to just like be myself, you know? Right. And then the other part was my album, which is still underway. I've released two singles, but my album, Our Lady of Abundancia, is a collection of songs, some of which I had already written before, many of which I had already kind of written the words to, and just kind of needed to learn how to like self-produce along the way.
So let's get the breaking story here. When do we think the album will be out there? And are you going to be releasing it just single per single and then in a compilation when it's all done? Or are you going to release the album and just put that out in the universe?
That's a great question.
Thank you. We try.
I don't know. Yeah. So far, I released a single in like November of 2022, and then I just released one last month on Valentine's Day.
Cool.
Yeah, that's like a queer love story about like not knowing if somebody's like queer or not, or maybe they're just like not into you. But you know, I am working on a couple more songs, and I like to take my time. I like to just be with it without a deadline.
Right.
Good. Yeah.
Well, see, that's a great answer. See, it was a good question, but it was a great answer because, you know, true art doesn't, there isn't a timeline. well, and that's really the best part about it is it was an honest answer. You know, we could sit here and we can give ourselves industry answers all day long. Oh, as soon as it is finished and we have the perfect piece to go on to this, then and only then will it be released and it'll be fantastic when it's out there, you know, or, you know, be cagey with it, like, when the time is right, it will truly be released. You know, the reality
very
is
ominous.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, there's so many different ways you can play it, you know, but the truthful way is always the best way to go about it. And thank you so much for living in your truth and, you know, allowing that to come through and to not just be a sales technique.
Yeah, I didn't know I was going to be releasing Femme Love Blues last month. It was just kind of almost ready. And I was like, oh, it'd be cute to let this out for like Pride or Valentine's Day. And I was like, we're going to do it. And we're going to do a music video. And it's going to all be released on Valentine's Day.
Speaking of living your truth, what is Naked Broadway?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so Naked Broadway is my cabaret series. It's an all BIPOC musical theater themed cabaret.
Mm.
Our tagline is, it's Broadway, but naked. But most places we're not legally allowed to actually get naked.
Understandable.
Is definitely an element of like burlesque and striptease in it. There's also sometimes drag, variety. We get some singing as well. And it's a place for lovers of musical theater from all backgrounds to like just come together and do whatever they want with a musical theater song that you wouldn't see on a Broadway stage, right? So for example, there is a song from the musical Rent called Out Tonight, and I one day was like, I'm gonna make an act out of this, but I'm gonna be a cat and it's gonna be called Meow Tonight, you know? And another show that I did, it wasn't a Naked Broadway show, but it's the same kind of idea.
Right.
I took this this very like braggadocio knight from Camelot, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I really want to play him. He just sounds like he'd be really fun to play. And what if I get like a, I make a sword, and then I make it so the sword just like goes limp in the middle of the act. And so I got to play Lancelot and sing his song and like brag, but it was like cool. A drag act as well. Yeah.
Right. No, but see, that's the whole thing. That's something that I love. It goes all the way back. I don't know. If you know that much about it, and I hope you do. And if you don't, I hope you dive into, but, in New York City, they had the Theater of the Ridiculous. And that's a lot of like where Andy Warhol stuff came through and different things where you would have all of these different performers, you know, creating and performing in a certain type of way. And that where they didn't have those rules because look, we get that there are certain, you know, you can't have all sorts of everything exposed because of health code issues and yada, 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 yada. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure, and we respect it. And plus, you know, you have to be careful with audiences and different things like that. But the more rules and regulations we put on creativity, the less creative it is. And it's not a cop out. Like, I don't think everything has to be, you know, done by Mapplethorpe, you know, but there just happens to be that aspect of it's got to challenge you a little bit. It's got to make you, if it doesn't make you feel just a little bit uncomfortable, is it truly art?
Sure.
Yeah. I will add to that. I think that there's this like unspoken rule in our society that ridiculousness and things like absurdity and improv are the realm of white people. And so, and musical theater as well. It's very much been kind of a product and development within like white supremacy, like a lot of art forms. And so for me, like having this space in Naked Broadway, I was very intentional about saying, this is gonna be a BIPOC space, it's gonna be all BIPOC artists. It's gonna be, we have very specific values, you know? And yeah, that's what I'm kind of committed to, is having this little goofy space where like everybody can come as an audience member, right, you know? But when it's on that stage, it's like, it's our chance to be ridiculous. Yeah.
But it's such a beautiful thing. That's one of the reasons why I love drag as much as I do, is, you know, especially when they go super, super over the top, and you know that there's no way in heck the suit is anatomically correct. And all of a sudden whipped cream starts shooting out of places. It's just funny. It's just, it's complete and total absurdity. But that's what's necessary, you know, because there's so much darkness that goes around that it can consume you and eat you alive. If we're not being, you know, a little bit more ridiculous every single day, then, I mean, what fun is life?
Yeah, sure. I will highlight an act that another performer did in our most recent show. We did a show called The High Priestess. And we had this performer, Queen Vampire, and everybody, most people from that show were like New Orleans based. Right. So she is like born and bred New Orleans. She did bounce remixes of a whole bunch of songs, like a whole medley of songs, right? Mm-hmm. And she came out in this like queen, like priestess costume. And out of nowhere, she just pulls out a chair and starts like twerking down the aisle, like physically moving the chair down the aisle with her body like moving. It was amazing. And I was like, this is just, it's this like combination of like skill and expertise and like over the topness. And she's like doing splits on the stage, and then she pulls out these fans out of nowhere. It's just like, it was one of my favorite moments.
And that's one of the most incredible things is especially when you do like this, I like to call it performance without a net, you know, where things are going to truly get out there. And, you know, hopefully we all get into a world that, you know, we can move forward as a society that we can actually start living without a net. Mm-hmm. That'd be great. But, you know, I'll wait. There's a whole bunch of people who look like me that are really have a problem with that, and they'll get over themselves. We just got to keep pushing. But as we move forward, and as we are continuing to push that envelope, where do you see yourself You know, is this something that is it going to be like a franchisable type of thing, or is this going to
like
be
Preston
more,
Easy Blues on WNHH LP 103.5 FM New Haven? Myself, Preston, and my partner in crime, Long Island raised, Elm City made, Easy Blues, the franchise player. Go ahead, Easy.
It is literally just an honor and a privilege to watch how smooth you are with those things. It's so good. It's so good. I'm impressed.
Timer goes off and it's just.
Yeah, boom. So like, ooh, what a great segue. But no, so, you know, is it more of a movement, or is it more of a business aspect for you?
You mean Naked Broadway?
I mean the whole thing. I don't just mean Naked Broadway, but I mean, I mean the whole thing.
You see the eyes wide open? You see the eyes open up?
Do I look like I ask small questions?
You turned your face to 180.
That's an enormous question. I mean, how do I? You're asking me to like describe my business plan.
Not necessarily describe your business plan, but really break down more so that the people can understand where this truly comes from, and the fact of it. It's not that you're sitting here trying to figure out a way to. And we don't pour salt in anyone else's hustle. Someone's going to be mad at you for saying this. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's not something where you know you're banking $10 million. Mm. You know, in this latest season of Survivor, there was just this gentleman that was voted off. And he had said, I'm not here for the $1 million. I want to win 1 million hearts. How can you show people that you're actually here to win 1 million hearts and not necessarily the $1 million? Not saying you turn down the $1 million if it came, but I'm saying that's not really what you're in it for.
Yeah. How can you show people that you're in it to win 1 million hearts and not $1 million?
Yeah.
Is the question?
Sure.
That's an interesting question because it seems to come from a place of feeling a need to, I guess, prove one's intention. Mm. You know, prove one's authenticity. I will say I'm probably not in it to win either. Okay. I don't think I want to win 1 million hearts because that would mean that the connections were very superficial.
Okay.
You know, and that can be very fickle. I think for me, I want to live my life in a way that is as joyful as it can be and creating as much joy in collaboration with others. Mm-hmm. Okay. As I can, while also staying in alignment with my values.
Mm.
Yeah.
There you go.
Speaking of alignment, a little birdie told me your favorite X-Men character is Storm.
Oh.
Why? And what connection do you have with that?
So I grew up watching like the cartoon X-Men in the 90s. And Storm was like the only woman of color like cartoon that I saw, except for like Susie on Rugrats, but you know, she was little like me, so
right.
I was like, oh, Susie's cool, but like I don't like look up to you. But Storm would just come in and like save the day, and like, you know, I realized as an adult that like they didn't have her in every episode. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, it's probably because of racism, but I think it's also because Storm fixes things so easily. Mm-hmm. They had there from the beginning, like there just wouldn't be a problem. And so when I was asked to like create my burlesque stage name, I came up with Nivian Storm as like a tribute to her.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you see the new series?
No, I didn't continue after after being a kid and like watching it. I didn't really
I'm just saying you will be pleased.
Yeah, well, to be honest with you,
you will be happy with what they've done with her. But that's it. Yeah, I'm not gonna spoil
it
for you.
Disappointed sometimes.
Yeah, well, no, this is something that's completely different because they're actually continuing the story.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
you know
cool.
what I'm saying? They're not trying to reinvent anything. They're continuing the story. They got the same voice actors. They've got pretty much the same team.
Nostalgia. Okay, now I want to watch it.
It's
very well. It reminds you from jump. It reminds you of the original series.
It's like you never left childhood. It's great.
Is she in most of the episodes?
Oh, she's she is. Yes, she is. They got
she's
the original
got,
voice.
She's got a part. Okay.
She's got a part
there
that you'll love.
Yeah. Yeah. And also probably be sad about, but that's fine.
Don't
No, it's good though. That's, said. Show, okay. That shows love. That shows
okay.
love. Don't kill the momentum though.
I feel like I'm preparing for like an emotional journey here. I have to be ready.
Well, no, that it's much better to be ready for the emotional journey than if we're just to sit there. Especially, look, I hate when that happens. When like I'm sitting there and it's I want to sit and watch a mindless cartoon. And all of a sudden, the cartoon takes you on an emotional journey you were not ready for, you know. Jack and now you're crying, and you're like, "I was just watching Bluey. I don't know what happened. I was just feeling it was just in the background, you know."
Yeah.
So, it's much better that you be prepared that there will be emotionality that will come that will come from it, you know.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know.
Do you give that same advice being a creativity coach? You know, just preparing people, you know,
just
when you
be prepared.
Yeah, like, you know, that's a good song. like for like future Broadway shows or whatever they have, like creativity, do you like set like things up like that as in talks when you talk to like different clients or? Yeah.
Do you mean like emotionally preparing?
Yeah, exactly.
For the journey of like highs and lows that comes with being an artist.
Yeah, because art can take you into different directions. Architecture in multiple directions, being a musician, whatever platform you do to show your art, you know, it's insane. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely something that I talk about. It's not all like rainbows and daisies.
No, it's not.
Even the process of creation itself, you have to kind of move through some difficult feelings a lot of times, which we were talking about earlier. But then you mentioned like people going on Broadway, people wanting to like act and stuff. Now you're putting yourself, you know, in front of other people.
Yeah.
I have a client I was working with who like is working on a book, and you know, it's about her childhood. And so there's this whole element of like, well, now you're sharing stories about your family. You're sharing stories about like your family history. How does it feel to put that out in public? You know, and what I find is I would love to work with more folks who are like completely new to this. They're like accountants and they've never even, you know, they've never even like considered picking up a graphite pencil or whatever. But to be honest, most of the people that I work with, most of the people who find me are already like pretty deep in a creative like hobby, project, career, whatever it is. And so for her, that like kind of exposure outlet was kind of gone because she was already doing storytelling, like live storytelling and stuff like that. And so it was more, I think for some people, it's more like the private personal aspect of working through things that is kind of the difficult part. Yeah. But I sit with them with.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I don't really sit here and tell you to like color. I'm just here like, yeah, well, how do you feel about that deadline you set for yourself? Like, how's it looking, you know?
Yeah. Well, look, that is so super important because you know how many unfinished projects I have, you know, like I think I'm working on like three different books at the same time, like doing all this kind of stuff just to try to knock out, you know, what needs to be knocked out. And, you know, have I written a page for any of them? Nope. Not a single word has been hit paper or in a computer, but I know the format of every single one of them and I know what's going through. And one day I'll be motivated enough and I'll be inspired enough to move forward, but I'm not going to force anything like that either because I know what it's like to sit and stare at a blank piece of paper or a blank computer screen for hours upon hours. And it is terrifying. Mm-hmm. And you can, that can open up such a huge, just cataclysm of just nightmarish self-doubt and have that little voice in your head be super loud. So I understand and I appreciate, you know, those people that are there to be like, hey, how's that deadline doing? Are you okay with doing it this way? Are you sure? You know, maybe us artists do need our hands held a little bit more than other people. Or maybe it's the tism. I don't know.
Accountability. I like it.
I would say if I were working with you, I would ask you, what do you think is keeping you from writing the first word? Not that you don't have to answer it on the radio.
I'm not going to answer it on the radio.
You know, it's just a question for you to hold and to find a way that feels comfortable to express that reason, whether it's maybe a voice memo instead of sitting down and like staring at this blank page. But if you can get through that little hurdle of like, what is stopping me? Mm-hmm. I feel very passionately about these projects, but I feel so intimidated by the actual starting. What is stopping me?
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
How do you balance your creativity? Because you're definitely a multitasker. You got a lot of stuff on your plate. How does the creativity coach balance herself?
I rarely give myself deadlines for like the big project, which is easy for me to do because I've been doing everything independently thus far.
Right.
Self-published, I'm self-producing, you know? And I also know that my main foe is perfectionism. So perfectionism is what tells you, well, you know, you told everybody it's going to be done by this certain date. So now it has to be done by this certain date. And if it's not good, then they're going to be disappointed. So you might as well not start and just like, you know, go do something else instead, you know, or you might as well just make something and then put it away and never look at it again because it's never going to be good enough. Like there's all these little voices that come up and all these like horrible thoughts that come up when you're literally just trying to create something. So for me, as somebody who wants to sing and write and act and dance, something I had to like front very early on and, you know, after making the decision that like, this is just what I'm going to do with my life. This is what I'm going to center my life around. Like, was, am I like a professional dilettante? Like, am I like a professional hobbyist? Am I like a professional amateur? Like, what's the deal? Everybody's telling me I have to pick one thing and get really good at it and focus on it until I like make it, you know what I mean? And then use that to like leverage the other projects. But it's the same kind of mentality. Like somebody told me when I was growing up, like, oh, you don't have time to make art when you're an adult. You have to wait till you retire. I was like, you just wait till you retire and then you make art and then you die. Like, what is that? You know?
Right.
So for me, it's like I take time daily to check in with those voices. And I usually have like one main project that I'm working on at a time. So, and when I say main project, I literally mean like the smallest part of it. Like I couldn't stop everything and work on an album. That's why it was like a single came out and then a book. And then we did an episode of Naked Broadway. And then there was another single because that's just how my heart gravitates toward different things in like different seasons.
Yeah.
And I just allow myself to do that. I think if you allow yourself to give your heart and give your body what they need, you're gonna naturally create things. Yeah.
That's fair. I can't.
I agree. I'm befuddled.
Hey, no, you know, look so bewildered.
Well, no, because here's the thing. Usually we have to pull this stuff out of people. Like, you know, you're so open and you're so sharing and you're giving these incredible nuggets.
We actually like this.
And we could just sit back here and be on autopilot. Like, I mean, we have to ask like two or three good questions and we're good to go.
Nah, man, we love this.
Yeah, I'm like, Are they going to interrupt me, or am I?
Oh, no, no. We, no, that's no, one no, thing no. we don't want to do is interrupt. We think that's the most disrespectful thing ever. We don't ever want to do that at all.
Yeah.
No, 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 no. You, this is also an extremely safe space. Mm-hmm. You know, you can share as much or as little as you want to share. There's no push one way or the other.
No,
this is your time. This is your story. You please mm-hmm. share your story any way you want to share your story.
This is correct. Cool. What's been your biggest challenge so far as a creative?
I would say, I kind of touched on it before. It would be perfectionism. Mm,
right.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's why I call my style of coaching playfectionism, because I want people to turn away from like the idea of perfectionism and toward seeing it as play. And then you start to see like life as more playful.
Yeah.
To just give some backstory, like I was one of those like honor roll kids. Like I was one of those kids who was like always on the honor roll and like was always at the front of the class, like raising my hand. I was the valedictorian of my high school.
Yeah.
I was in like a million clubs. Like I was all about not necessarily like, I guess if you had asked me, I wouldn't have said like, oh yes, I'm trying to be perfect. But like, you know, when you get older and you reflect back, it's like, why was I trying so hard? Like I thought that I really had to try that hard, you know? And I ended up getting like a scholarship to an Ivy League school. And so coming from the projects and getting this opportunity, it was like so much pressure on me. Like, don't mess it up. You know, like you're now an example. So you graduate with a degree in ethnic studies. What do you do?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
What do you do? And I went through this period of like, I did AmeriCorps. For a year, I started tutoring for work and then like volunteering at theater companies. Cause I was like, I don't know, theater makes me happy. And I went through this period when I was so young to be thinking about all these big questions. I was like 22 reading like, what color is your parachute? And like all these Brené Brown books, these like coaching books about like joy and the artist's way and stuff. And I just developed this idea that like, oh, okay, I'm not exactly meant to fit into a mold. And I don't think that any of us really are. And I think that if other people had the luxury, had the privilege to like consider it that way, then we wouldn't try to fit into these molds. We would tune a lot of these other things out, you know? Right. And I'm forgetting what the original question was. Perfectionism.
Yes.
Yeah. So kind of delving into that like self-reflective, you know, aspect helped me kind of uncap all the art that I was holding back, you know?
Right.
And
right.
I experimented with a lot of weird jobs. And I mean like weird money jobs. Like I got a marketing job that was supposed to be a marketing company, and it was actually selling phone plans door to door. And because I
got involved with the same company.
It's like, what is Except this weird umbrella scheme?
I was selling the phone plans. I was selling opportunities to go to a restaurant.
Oh my God, that's amazing. It's what kind of restaurant? What was the like highlight?
It was like a Pizza Hut or the, you know, local restaurant there, Dave and Buster's. Mm. It's pretty much like a coupon booklet. Like,
oh my gosh.
Get like four meals, buy one, get one free, and get 20% off at this coupon and all of this. And you just give $20 or $25, you know, straight up. Yeah.
I used to sell getting the people idea. To pay for coupons.
Yep. I was getting people to pay for coupons. That's really what it gets. Yeah. But you have such incredible experiences when you do weird things like that.
Yeah.
Because like at one point I was in a full black suit with a silver tie, and I had long hair and it was slicked back. And I knocked on this one dude's door, and he comes to the door. He's like, I told Tony I'd pay him tomorrow. I swear I'll pay him tomorrow. I was like, Pizza Hut, I'm here. Do you like pizza?
Oh, my God.
You know, and he was like, it's all good. I wound up making a lot of money that day. I don't know how he paid Tony next day, but that has nothing to do with me. I made $100. I was good to go.
Yeah. She's giggling. You know,
I've been flipped off by an 80-year-old man who just came to the window and just gave me the finger. You know, I've had a shotgun pulled on me going door to door. It's just fun.
Oh, for you.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah.
Not for me. You got two types of fun, buddy. I see that.
What's in that cup, right now, sir?
Oh, lemonade. It's not what's in the cup.
God, man. Whew, that's all I got to say on WNHH, LP 103.5, FM New Haven. Myself, Preston, and my partner in crime, Long Island Rays, Elm City Made, EZ Blues is in the building. Easy.
Yes.
Continue.
Oh. No, but see, it's so interesting, like, where you can start to open yourself up to these weird jobs and kind of being a creative, you know, like I remember, you know, doing dishes in a bar when I was like 14 years old, you know, because it was just something that I needed to do because I needed to buy strings or I needed to buy music, yeah. You know, and I needed to get that thing squared away and taken care of, you know, and I got to meet some of the most incredible people out there because they were just real people. They were real damaged people, but they were real people. And it was so interesting to see. How do you navigate through the real people aspect of, you know, living the life that you live?
The real people aspect. Oh, that's so interesting. Because I am also a real person.
Yeah, kinda. No, see, I look at it from a different point of view. As per, like, you know, creatives, we're a little bit different. We're a little bit, yeah, to the side. I won't say left or right because I don't believe in that binary nonsense, you know, but it, you know, it's to a side. So we're not the stereotypical get up, have the 2.5 kids, yeah, you know, there's nothing stereotypical or not random about being a creative.
Yeah.
So that's why I look at, you know, the real people of the real world, you know, where we have to say things a certain way and be a certain way, act a certain way. And then there's the world that we, you know, we would love to create where we can all live free and 100% be ourselves. So that's really, yeah, that's what I say about, you know, real people.
Yeah. You know, some of it is I take what I wish I could have said and I put it into songs.
Mm.
You know? Mm. Yeah. I have a song called Hey Little Man that's about a boss I used to have. You know, I couldn't say it to his face, so I had to write a song about it.
Nice.
You know? Yeah. I think most of it I put the feelings into art, and I say things that I think other people would say. I think I've learned as a woman that I have to draw, right, some boundaries with people,
yes,
when they're just,
absolutely,
out of line, you know? I was doing like a TikTok dance the other day and somebody just randomly, this man I know, just started recording me. I was like, don't stop. Like, what makes you think that that's, you know, okay? Yeah. And I think that, you know, in our society as a whole, but for women in particular, like, we're conditioned, right, to not say anything and just kind of play nice. But I know that, like, for me, that it creates such a sense of discomfort in my body to carry that with me. And I don't want to do it anymore. Unless, right, you know, it's, the stakes are high and it's a power dynamic where I simply can't. And then I have to go write a song about you.
Yes.
And make a silly TikTok video about you.
Word. Word. Well, see, that now that makes it very interesting. And I love how we kind of transitioned into this point. How do people find you where they can really, because again, you're now on the West Coast and there's a whole bunch of people on the East Coast right now that are learning more about you. And you know, what is it like actually managing your TikTok and what is your TikTok?
What is it? It's a weird experiment. I don't know.
No. No, the address.
The actual address.
What is your TikTok?
It hit me, okay? I was in philosophical question mode, and then I realized you just meant, like, what's the handle? So it's at Nivi Canela. It's my name. It's NIVICANELA. And it's the same for my Instagram, and it's the same for Facebook, and it's the same for YouTube. It's very simple. And my website is nivikaneda.com. And you can go there and sign up for a mailing list where I send you creativity tips like the ones that I'm sharing today. And I also send like updates on projects and shows that are coming up.
Nice.
Yeah.
So here's where I sometimes challenge people to do to explore more in the creative aspect of it and different things. Aww. Have you ever thought about combining book with the creative help that you do? So kind of like a workbook.
Mm. Oh, a workshop book.
For the creative.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I said earlier I was really inspired by The Artist's Way. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm at a point in my career where like I have a lot to say, but it also, I think I still have a lot to learn. So I made a little like 10-page kind of workbook for my mailing list that I sent out. And it was like 5 steps to become a playfectionist, you know? And mm-hmm. I've thought about kind of expanding that into a book, but I don't think it's going to happen in the next few years, maybe somewhere down the line. Yeah. But thank you for the idea.
Of course. Well, I see there's something in that in particular, and then also kind of doing like seminars or doing like video
workshops
in particular. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I see it kind of working together. And you are someone else who is living creatively, you know, where art is actually the life in which you live. So I just want to, you know, give you certain ideas to kind of help facilitate while creating that art in a different vein.
Thank you. I would love to know also. So I started doing these virtual workshops back in like 2021. So I haven't really been doing them for very long. Mm-hmm. I've done affirmation workshops where we write affirmation songs. Okay. So like, you know, the song that you can sing to yourself to like get yourself out of a funk, get yourself through something. And I've done vision board workshops where we use Canva to make a vision board. And I think I'm just kind of curious, like, if y'all were going to go to a creativity workshop, what would you want it to be about?
Hmm. Consistency.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah, a good way to maintain consistency, you know, while actually being creative too.
And balance too.
Yeah,
mind can balance. Go so many directions.
Yeah.
So that'd more like lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Around that, okay. We're around that direction. Absolutely. Mm. Yeah.
Thank you.
No, that's that definite. And you know, also there's so many different aspects where they deal with, you know, the creative process and helping to process through trauma. And as our good friend Miles Boland says, healing hurts like you're swallowing bruises. Mm. So it's really important to also make sure you're there and you have that, you know, that shoulder, because there will be tears that come up. And sometimes that's a good thing. And, you know, sometimes it's a very cleansing thing for your soul. So I would definitely would be something that would appeal to me in a workshop like that.
Awesome. Yeah, I will say that is really like the kind of space that I strive to create for people to mm-hmm. be able to be vulnerable with themselves. That said, I have a master's in educational theater. My background is in education, but not clinical psychology, therapy. Like I do highly recommend that when people are getting into like the deeper things, they have somebody with them that they can call, mm-hmm. you know, yep. just to go alongside it and not as like a replacement. Yeah.
Yeah. Body doubling in that type of situation is very, 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 very important. And it's a great technique to move forward through there with. So that's awesome.
What is body doubling?
That's where you go on the journey with somebody else, or, you know, it can be, say, it's a task about cleaning your room. You've been waiting, you haven't done it in a while. Someone comes into the room with you and is just there to talk to you as you go through that type of aspect. And you can body double through just, I'm going through something, I just need you to listen. And mm-hmm. that's a body double. Be that body as I walk through, you know, the gates of heck, as we like to say on the FCC Appreciated Radio.
I was waiting for the intro again.
Oh, no.
It's not time. It happens when you least expect it.
But I do have to say this. Who is Miss, and if I butchered her name, correct me, Miss Bergenline?
Oh, Miss Bergenline.
Yeah.
So Bergenline is one of the streets that I grew up on as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea kind of started as a joke. So back in like 20, gosh, how far back do I go? How much time do we have?
We got a couple minutes. We got a couple minutes, to be honest.
I wrote a solo show, and part of that solo show was monologue from the perspective of like a pageant queen slash Barbie doll character who's supposed to be like Barrio Barbie. She's like the perfect little like hood girl, like a little Dominican hood girl. And I made a sash that said Miss Bergenline as kind of a parody of that. And it ended up, when I asked my community, like, what should the title of my book be? They wanted it to be Miss Bergenline.
That's awesome. That's absolutely incredible. You know, that's some of the most organic things that happen. And you know, when you can pay tribute to the places where you've come from, it makes the most amount of sense, because that's makes the story better. Because when the story of the creation itself is even a good story, you know, that's cool. And it's all those little things. They call them Easter eggs in movies. You know, where you'll see, like in the Star Wars, you'll see E.T. You know, it's a little Easter egg that's there, and those different type of things. So to now know an Easter egg in an art that you've created is kind of cool.
Yeah, she does pop up a lot of places.
There you go. I'm also suggesting maybe a t-shirt line. I'm just saying.
Oh, there you go. This,
I have all the phrases. I was gonna go for stickers, but honestly,
stickers would be cool.
I'm Barrio Barbie. Stickers would be cool. Great.
You should totally do it, but unfortunately, they are starting to pull the Apollo curtain on us. We've gotten the red light from the producers and everything, but we want to give this time to you. Please tell people how they can get in contact with you, how they can help you grow, how they can be witness, how they can, you know, get your skills to help them be more creative. The floor is yours. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so lovely, and it's gone by so quickly. And I'm just really grateful to y'all. You can find me at nivicanela.com, NIVICANELA. Like I said earlier, all my handles are the same. It's at Nivi Canela. I'm on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And on my website, you can also find more information about Naked Broadway and one-on-one coaching and any workshops that are coming up. But if you want like the most, you know, up-to-date, like this is happening next month, I would recommend that you join my mailing list, which you can do also on the contact form on my website. Yeah. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you. It's been great meeting you. It's been great getting to know you. And we hope have you back on in the foreseeable future. So your invitation is always welcome, and we appreciate your energy.
I appreciate y'all.
I'm going to say it on WNHHLP 103.5 FM New Haven. Myself, Preston, and my partner in crime, Long Island Rays, Elm City Maine, Mr. E.Z. Blues.
To write about, trying to figure out what it's all about. Existentialist, am I worth anything or just this gown? I don't know.